Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
In 1945, and in 1955, there were two catastrophes that occurred. One catastrophe brought about the end of the Second World War. The second catastrophe brought about the beginning of the civil rights movement in this nation. Two catastrophes brought about two solutions, but they required tragedy, darkness, and death. 2,000 years ago, one catastrophe occurred. It brought about the signaling of a cosmic war, the end of a cosmic war. And it brought about the beginning of a new movement. But there was only one death, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two solutions brought about by one catastrophe through death came light. John is writing to a church that is in a similar predicament that we are in, where there is darkness all around. And in the middle of all of that darkness, John, the writer of this particular epistle, wants to preach about what he experienced, not about hearsay. And what he wants to speak about is this catastrophe that brought about not devastation, but restoration. But the question he wants to bring to the so-called people of God is that, have you actually experienced, become a part of, introduced yourself to the movement that was brought about by that catastrophe? In other words, has the death of Christ become something that is real to you? Well, you don't have to ask this question hypothetically, John says. You can ask this question in reality, not by looking at people out there, but by looking at your own life. He's going to give three litmus tests within the book of 1 John. Yeah, yeah. And if you are a new believer or an old believer, if you think you're a Christian or you know you're a Christian, I would encourage you even after this to go and read the book of 1 John this week. Yeah. Yeah. And I want you to ask the hard question. Do these three litmus tests sound like me? The third litmus test comes in chapter 5. It is the litmus test of victory. That if you really encountered the man of victory, you will live a life of victory. And if your constant life in the Christian walk is one of defeat, you need to ask yourself the question, have you encountered the conquering one? Wow. Litmus test number 2. Love. He says in chapter 4 that God himself is love. That's right. And if God is love and we are his children, we ourselves should not only say we love, but we should actually live love out. That's right. But the first litmus test is the one I want to talk to you about, and it's the heaviest one to me. It's this idea of light. Say light.
Light.
God, through the Apostle John, is going to ask you the question, do you have a life that is characterized by darkness or by light? And he's going to tell us very clearly, if your life is characterized by darkness, you have not yet truly begin to walk with the God of light. I have nothing fancy to say to you. Most of the time, I would try to get very artistic because I love the art of preaching.
Talk, Pastor.
I try to close it up and tie it up well. May God help me to do something good. But as I told you from the rip, I'm not asking, did I do a good job? I'm asking, was I faithful? Verse 5. Please hear the word of the Lord. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. John wants to first say that this is not a message, but Greek article, the message. We don't have multiple messages.
Right.
You don't get to pick and choose what message you will receive, hoping you will get to the same God by a variety of messages. We have but one message. And the message is about the holiness of a perfect God. And that perfect and holy God has revealed himself both through creation and his scriptures. You cannot change who God is. You cannot try to alter who God is. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And guys, he did not give us a light switch so that we can dim his light. We like a dimmer God because it's less exposing. And all I see all over social media is a dimmer God. A God that does not expose the real wickedness of our heart. A God that only agrees with you. And my Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Now, if God is perfect and your heart is wicked, how in the world does a perfect God always agree with a wicked heart? That does not sound like the God of light. It sounds like a dim version. Stop trying to dim the light of God so that your deeds won't be exposed. God is the source of all goodness and all truth. You cannot make his goodness a little less good because you don't meet that standard. And you cannot make his truth a little less true because you don't like what the truth says about you. We must not dim the light of God. He is light, and in him is absolutely no darkness at all.
That's good.
Understand the character of the God you're dealing with. Can I say a hard word to some of us in here? Part of the reason why we've never felt the urgency of repentance is because we have a dim deity. This passage wants to make clear, John is at the end of his life, and you know when old heads like get old? You ever had a grandma been saved for a long time? And she just don't try to like cut around corners no more? She don't want to water it down no more? She's got to tell you how it is? You in sin and on your way to hell, she told me when I was 4 years old. I'm not exaggerating. 4 years old. And we talk, oh man, you gotta say it the way kids can hear it. I was four. I said, I don't want hell. And I was terrified enough to believe that what she was saying was true. And what we do is we dim the deity. So it's not hell anymore. It's you'll just be separated. Because we don't like the Gehenna Jesus talked about so much. But what is separation from a perfect God? That in and of itself is hell. And if you think that the burning fire that Jesus talks about is something that is so theoretical it won't burn, please, I'm begging you, don't try me and find out. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And John, at the end of his life, don't want to cut around corners. He doesn't want to give you the Kool-Aid version. You know how people don't drink, like to drink water, so they drink Kool-Aid? Maybe that's just my day. I can't stand water. So you put the Kool-Aid in there so that somehow you'll be drinking water. I got my bottles of water in. Not realizing that what you added to the water is actually dehydrating you and defeating the purpose of the water itself. When you try to add to the word of God, it is actually dehydrating you and defeating the purpose of the word of God itself. Wow. Let water be water on its own.
Yeah.
Let the word be the word on its own.
Yeah.
And my Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Stop dimming the deity.
Yeah. That's good.
But he continues, verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not, here's the word, practice the truth. The Greek word here for practice is poieo. You say poieo?
Poieo.
That sounds good. Say poieo.
Poieo.
You got all nations in here saying poieo. Say it once, I say poieo.
Poieo.
Now listen to me. He does not say that when we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, listen to me, we lie and don't say the truth.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
He says we lie and we don't practice it. Which means new creation fellowship. That you don't just lie with your lips, you can also lie with your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Wow, that's good.
We in America are so bent on getting doctrine right. Saying it the right way.
Yeah.
Articulating it with perfection. And meanwhile, when Paul actually uses the word doctrine, he actually talks about our lifestyle, not what we articulate.
Right.
And it's not just Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's also your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who at the end of the day will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah, that's good.
Not well articulated.
Yeah.
Good and faithful theologian. We saw about articulating the message that we forget that if the message isn't lived, we are actually liars. I don't care if you lie with your lips. What really matters is if you lie with your life. Jesus even said, I want to give you a little parable. Two people, somebody told them, go do this thing. The one said, I ain't gonna do it, and ended up doing it. With his lips, he said no, but with his life, he said yes.
Yeah.
The other one said, I'm gonna do it, and did it. With his lips, he said yes. With his life, he said no. Which one is in the right? And a lot of us are saying yes with our lips, but our lives are saying a big fat no.
Yeah.
Come on, Pastor.
And some of us, listen to me, and I love people like this, little rough around the edges. We don't know how to articulate it.
Yeah.
And when people actually ask us about our lifestyle, it sounds like a no. But our lives actually are speaking to a yes. Because we have such, listen to me, an authenticity within our souls that we don't want to be caught being hypocritical. So if there's even a measure of sinfulness in the action I took, I don't want to call it a good action. Some of y'all are good talkers, bad livers. And some of us are bad talkers, good livers. Now, I want to ask you the question. In our American theology, which one is more justified?
Yeah.
We give the mic to the talkers.
Wow.
We give leadership to the talkers.
Yes.
We give that position to the talkers. We give the pulpit to the talkers. And listen to me. And then we get mad when the talkers are just talk. As though we checked on their lives in the first place. Do y'all know this is why in my like in discipleship for me, like people gonna be in my crib? Because I can tell you all I want. I can say all the most beautiful things, and these are all true. Hey, I just y'all heard me all say this. I love my wife, Brittany. You fine, girl. Baddest thing on two legs, for real, for real. Look at her, wear a little smile back there. Just look good. Beautiful and brilliant and godly. And I can stand up here from a pulpit and be lying. Not because of what I say, but because of what I live. So how will you know unless you actually see me live with her? Now, not everybody gonna get access to that. They set y'all free. I'm one man. Everybody can't do that at that level. But you best believe, beyond just the pastors, there are people in this church who walk beside me and see our good times and our rough times and get to see what my character looks like when it's rough times. Why? Because you don't just lie with your lips, you can also lie with your life. Christian or non-Christian, are your lips saying that Jesus is Lord, but your life saying a very different thing? Are your lips saying that I trusted in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but your life saying a different thing? Are your lips, hear me, saying I'm in relationship with God, but your life saying a different thing? There's one way to tell. Are you walking in darkness?
Come on. Wow.
Preach.
That's good, God.
That's great.
If I'm holding hands with a light bulb that's on, guess what? I'm going to be lit. As they say in this generation. If I say I'm in relationship holding hands with a light bulb that's on, but everything around me is darkness, am I lying or telling the truth? You can't even get close to light without the light hitting you. But if you're in deep fellowship, here's the Greek word, koinonia, with God, and everything he is light, and there is no darkness in him, and yet everything about your life screams darkness, you are lying and you are not practicing the truth. Today is the day of salvation. Repent and believe today. The offer of grace is on the table. But there will, listen to me, this is Jesus's words. There is no healing for the person who refuses to admit that they are sick.
Absolutely.
Are you in darkness? Are you in the light? Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, maybe better emphasis. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. We have, here's that word again, fellowship with one another, perfect unity. And the blood of Jesus' son cleanses us from all sin. Do you know why we speak so much about perfect unity? Do y'all want to know why it's such a big deal for us to emphasize? It's because the Bible all over the place.
Yeah.
Literally won't stop doing it. Every time you think it's just going to be you and God, all of a sudden he want to introduce us into the picture.
Yeah.
This would have been one of the passages. I hear you talking to me, to me, to me, to me, to me. And he just talked about talking about having fellowship with God. You would think the reciprocal would actually be what it said. That if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But that is not what the text says.
Come on, Doc.
It says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with who? One another.
Come on.
The reason why there's so much division in the church is because the church is not walking in the light. Because if we were actually walking in truth and goodness, we would actually get closer to one another. It's inherent. You don't have to fight for it. You don't got to throw on a conference called unity and diversity. It would be inherent because it's in our DNA. But we got to do extra work because we won't allow the real work to actually work on us.
Right.
You want to know why you don't got close friends? Because you're deceptive.
Yeah.
Come on, Doc. Preach that.
And people can tell. See, this is, can I just show y'all? And y'all going to see this on TikTok later. It's good. Y'all going to see this on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram. I'm about to show y'all the difference between biblically convicting preaching and the preaching we'll hear in the world. I'm just about to let y'all know. You'll be like, dang, that's happened a lot. I could preach the same passage in a different way and make you feel good.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
I'm about to flip the joint. Y'all, now y'all gonna start shouting. You want to know why you had to let that friend go?
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Come on.
Because they were deceptive.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Talk.
If we walk in the light, as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another. One of the reasons why you don't got them same friends is because they unwilling to walk in the light. You're too authentic for them.
Come on now.
Come on.
Come on, church.
Come on now.
Shout, stand up.
Come on, say that.
Feel good about yourself. Because you're always the Jesus in the picture, right?
Come on now.
And when you're always the Jesus in the picture, you don't need him.
Preach. My God.
So we don't like it when I say, no, you're the deceptive one. And it'd be funny because the same people who be shouting just got to that church last week because they left the other one because they wasn't good enough for them. And you just went to three different churches in three different weeks. And everybody else all deceptive. Houston, we have a problem.
Come on now.
No, y'all don't got close friends because you're intentionally deceptive, because you're afraid that if somebody with the Spirit of God who lives before Jesus, who prays in the closet, was to encounter the depth of your life, they would call you out on some stuff. And you're so terrified of that, so you date in secret. And then when the relationship's good enough, then you want to tell them.
Come on.
And you live in secret, and you put together business ideas in secret. And then when it works, then you want to talk about it. Because you know that it was birthed not out of the Savior's will, but out of your sinful, wicked desires.
Yeah. Come on, Doc.
So we live hush-hush lives. And here's the deal. You can live a hush-hush life being loud.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on, Doc.
It just depends on what you're loud about.
Yeah.
Recap, not you. I did this. I was using all types of theological books about God to run from God.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Because if I could just get the jargon right, I'll sound real good mm-hmm. around some other brothers
yeah.
who talk that talk.
Right.
And we all false in our knowledge. Yo, who you read in the day? Oh man, I was just, you know, cracking open John Calvin's Institutes.
Yeah.
Come on now.
It's really good stuff.
We can even do this with the scriptures.
Yeah.
Do y'all want to know, I was reading my Bible and never praying? No, stop for a second, y'all.
Yeah.
I was reading my Bible daily and not praying.
Yeah.
Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all think y'all pray because y'all praying because you throw up some prayers. No, I'm talking about I refused to sit in silence before God because I was terrified of what he would say.
Wow.
This is why when stuff starts to linger on Sundays, we start to get antsy. So when are we going to move on? It was a good moment. Okay. All right. We heard you. Yep, heard you. Pastor Meech, we heard you. Wow. And we antsy here because we're antsy at home.
Yeah.
But we don't know the reason we're antsy is because like that cockroach I talked about a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
We're uncomfortable in the light.
Yeah.
Because it will expose us. If we walk in the light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only does the blood of Jesus' son cleanse us from all sin, but we get closer, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I want, I just believe this. 3,000 people were added in one day to the church.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now walk with me, my Bible readers. 3,000 people. Dead in sin.
Yeah. Wow.
Messages preached.
Wow.
The Spirit say, you just got traded.
Yeah.
And transferred to the kingdom of light.
Yeah. Come on.
Overnight, you got enemies becoming family.
Yeah.
Come on.
Wow.
Now, how in the world in chapter 2?
Same chapter.
Did it say that they already had all things in common that quick?
Wow.
My God. Uh-oh.
It is because the revival that broke out there was a real revival.
Yeah.
And real revivals are not about how long you sing the same song.
Yeah, that's right.
It is about
teach.
Did repentance occur?
Yeah.
Was sin exposed?
Yeah.
And when that happens, unity has to happen.
Yeah, has to.
Anybody want us to be a closed church?
Yeah. Amen.
Like to do this the Acts way.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's like, well, you got to keep it small, because if you keep it small, then everybody be close. Good news for y'all. I have friends outside of this church. You want to know something crazy? I got friends who started house churches. About to go deeper. And the friends who started house churches, this is going to shock some of y'all, said division rose up in those churches as well.
Yeah.
Wow. You mean to tell me whether it's 9,000 or 9,000 division will occur? So what do? We try to fix it by getting smaller.
Yeah.
As though that's the solution. The solution is here. Create a culture of confession. Of walking in the light.
Yeah.
Of exposing your dark deeds. And as we walk in the light, I am a little thirstier than I should be for some dude.
come on.
Just say what it is. Yeah. By the way, if they got the Spirit of God and they sense of the Spirit and you give them even a glimpse, they can already tell anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's what's annoying about being around real Christians. Because they don't even got to see it, they can just smell it.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
You have, just so y'all know, there have been times where nobody in this room, of course. Somebody has called me and be like, I just wanted you to know what has been happening for the last few weeks. And I'm just sitting on the phone and I have to act surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Come on now.
Come on.
I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
I can sniff out darkness.
Yeah.
Not only because I got the Spirit of God, but because I know what it looked like in my own life.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You get real short with text messages. All of a sudden, we just had the best meeting ever. And all of a sudden, there's one word answers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know what it is.
Yeah.
They don't want them to say, okay, when they ready.
Yeah.
When they ready. So I just sent, y'all probably got it from me. Now y'all know. I just sent a little text. Just little jokes. Like, man, hope you're doing okay. And I'm hoping it'll stir something up. So now when y'all get the hope you're okay, not a specific drawn up. Now y'all know it is up. I just got checked. I could be wrong. I just got checked.
Yeah.
Because when we start to hide, usually, it is because we don't want some deed exposed.
Yeah, right. Come on, God. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
But if we walk in the light,
yeah,
as He is in the light,
yeah,
we get closer.
Yeah.
Just say what it is, sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been real thirsty, so I've been trying to figure out relationships on my own.
Right.
I heard the relationship series in Genesis, and I just want to do that.
Right. Just say it.
Because the dude I saw and I found, he fine. But he ain't in fellowship.
Yeah. Oh.
So it... Just say it, though.
Right.
Yeah.
So we can be on the same page. Thank you for letting us know.
And we can move on.
For some brothers, I got a deep addiction to pornography. It's been with me for 10 years. And I hate talking about it because I don't feel like I'll ever be able to overcome it.
Come on, yeah.
Wouldn't it be the evil one to teach you that the best way to get over it is the exact opposite of the way the Lord prescribed?
Right.
Come on. Come on, doctor. Preach. Tell them.
Stop hiding.
Yeah.
Just talk about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got a real temper problem at home. My wife sees a very ugly side of me. I'm two-faced. Y'all see the smile and the joy. She sees the anger and frustration. Don't lie about it. Bring it to the light.
Yeah.
And when you do that in a constant way, one of my mentors calls it becoming a serial repenter. When that becomes the culture of your life, the characterization of your life, guess what starts to happen? You get really close Christian friends all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to be cleansed from the stuff that you never thought you could be cleansed from.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, self-righteousness, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins,
yeah.
He is faithful and just. Faithful and just. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Wow.
Two events separated by almost 10 years to the date in 1945 and 1955. Both catastrophes that led to death, but ultimately brought about the ending of a war and the beginning of a movement. The first event in 1945 was the bombing of Hiroshima. Tragedy, wickedness, death. Can I just say something too? Because of our finiteness, and I hope y'all are saying this, a new creation, what we tend to do is we think in dichotomies. So we think, okay, they're either good guys or bad guys. And if the good guys are doing something, then there are good outcomes. If the bad guys are doing something, then there are bad outcomes. And that's the only way we can think. We have a hard time introducing the sovereign solution that can use real wickedness and bring about something that is possibly good. Listen to me, though. It does not erase the wickedness. And if I could just say this over and over again, and we have the biggest picture at the cross.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If we don't understand this, we will misunderstand the cross. And we will start to think that Judas was good for betraying Jesus.
Ooh, my mama.
And we'll start to think that the people who crucified Jesus were doing us a favor. Because otherwise, how would we get redemption? That's only when you serve a finite God. But we do not serve a finite God. We serve an infinite God who used the worst wickedness ever to bring about the greatest good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just say something to y'all?
Yeah.
Just here, just recap. Maybe this is a personal idea. I believe it was truly wicked to kill over 200,000 people at one time in Japan. Wicked. God allowed it to end a war, but y'all, it's wicked.
Yeah.
It's wicked. And this ain't like trying to get political. I'm just saying, sometimes you just got to call a spade a spade. That is evil, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Can I just say this? That catastrophe that brought about insane amount of devastation also somehow, some way, in the hands of a sovereign God,
wow,
led to the ending of more lives being destroyed.
Yeah.
I'll never understand it. Do y'all feel the confusion and tension?
Yeah.
I need you to sit in that tension. I needed to feel this weighing. I needed to feel this tense. I need every word of mine to be weighed. Why? Because that's what you should feel when you look at the cross.
Yeah.
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 That at the cross, there's this paradox of faithfulness and justice.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a tension that should make you feel uncomfortable. We so clean up the cross that we don't feel the discomfort of it. So when Paul says stuff like it's a stumbling block, we don't comprehend it because it doesn't seem to make anybody stumble. That's because its preaching is not right.
Yeah.
But it should feel weird.
Yeah.
Disgusting, evil, and wicked. And at the same time, victorious.
Yeah.
Hopeful and glorious.
Yeah.
How? Because there's this tension happening. Paradox of faithfulness and justice.
Yeah.
You don't even understand the paradox of faithfulness and justice because you actually think that you're just. So God's faithfulness to you is God doing an already just person a favor.
Wow. My God.
This is why we don't get the tension of the cross.
Yeah.
So when it says he's faithful and just, we don't get the paradox. God, in all of his greatness, should either be faithful or just, not both at the same time.
Right,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Faithfulness says, I have a relentless love for human beings.
Yeah.
Justice says, I have a relentless hatred towards sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Problem.
Yeah.
We human beings are sinful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if God is really going to be just and have a relentless hatred of sin, He has to punish it.
Yeah.
And if God is going to be faithful,
yeah,
and have a relentless love towards humans, he has to still draw near.
Yeah.
Do you see that you're the one who created the tension?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Mercy.
Absolutely. Wow.
If we were all perfect, there'd be no tension. But it is because we are sinful,
yeah,
that God says, I can't turn off my faithfulness,
yeah,
and I can't turn off my justice.
Yeah.
So I got to create a paradoxical solution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The paradox is the cross.
Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
On the cross,
mm-hmm,
God is saying,
yeah,
my faithfulness,
mm-hmm,
will endure,
wow,
forever.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Gracias, Señor.
Preach.
And at the cross,
wow,
God is saying,
mm,
my justice,
wow,
has been satisfied.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
This is why this message is called the U Catastrophic Light. A U catastrophe was a term coined by J.R. Tolkien. And J.R. Tolkien, the guy who wrote The Lord of the Rings, there you go. He coined this phrase to speak about an event that was as powerful as a catastrophe, that was as catalytic as a catastrophe, that really brought about as much impact as a catastrophe. And yet before the word catastrophe, he introduced a prefix, EU, which means good. So he coined this phrase, you catastrophe, to speak about a moment in history that was powerful, that was impactful, that was catalytic, and yet it wasn't to bring about devastation, but restoration.
Mm.
A new catastrophe.
Mm.
The cross of Christ is a new catastrophe.
Yeah.
We can see the weight and the pain and the devastation of something as evil and as wicked as any of these events in human history, including Hiroshima. And when you realize that the cross of Christ was catastrophic, what you actually see is that in a much further way, his glory revealed on the cross was just as restorative as that was devastating.
Wow.
Jesus, on the cross of Christ, brought imperfection and perfection together through the paradox of faithful justice.
Yeah.
Why am I sitting here? Because your lives tell me you don't believe that.
Wow.
If we truly believe that at the cross his perfect faithfulness was pursuing us and his perfect justice was satisfied, why would we hide anything in our lives?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
I get so irritated when I see the world trying to create unity, but nobody's actually telling on themselves.
Yeah.
How are you going to bring two sinners together when neither sinner will admit that they sin? But we as Christians have the solution. Because at the cross, we no longer have to hide from our sin because our sin has already been hidden.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So snitch on yourself.
Right.
This week, I told you I live in the hood, right?
Yeah.
I told you I live in the hood, right?
Yeah.
I told you I still live in the hood.
Yeah.
To make everybody clear, I live in the hood. My hood, this week, ask Akeisha, this week, you got real hood in my hood. And somebody did something, was running from the police, crashed into something, saw the police were right behind, and just deserted the car. all we heard was, and then I'm taking off. So everybody, you know, everybody takes a second to see if it's violent. And everybody come out their crib.
Right.
So we come out the crib and we overhear one of the neighbors telling, hearing one of the other kids, the little kids, like 5, 6 years old, telling the cops where the dude was running. It was like our old grandmother's teaching us how to tithe. He taught them a lesson so fast. Don't ever snitch. Now, I started, and I'm like, wow. Not only in our flesh are we taught not to snitch, but we even double down on it in our neighborhoods. And then here comes God Almighty telling us, confess your sins. Tell yourself, you know, snitch. Not on them, no, but on you. Why? Because you're no longer running from the cops. Because the justice and the sentence has already been taken care of. But if you're still on the run, you're going to continue to not snitch. And we wonder why we don't tell on ourselves. The reason why many of us do not confess our sins is because we believe we're still on the run. If you trusted in him, you're not running anymore. He's not pursuing you in that way anymore. His pursuit of you is no longer for wrath. It is only for love. So stop running from the one who wants to comfort you. Run to him so that he can heal you. But this healing, hear me, does not happen without confession. Confession is a Greek word, homologeo. Say homologeo. Say it with your chest, say homologeo. Say it one more time, say homologeo. Now, I want y'all to sit here with me. Please, please stick with me. I'm going somewhere with all of this, and I'm going to bring this all home. Homologeo means to say the same thing.
Wow.
I'm going to say that one more time. Homologeo means to say the same thing. So when the text calls us to confess our sins, it's actually telling us to say the same thing about our sins that God does.
Wow. Come on.
We begin in accountability groups.
Come on, Doc. Say it.
Y'all been there before? The dudes get in a circle? I did it this week. What you do? Yeah, me too, I fell. Yeah, I fell too. Hey, I fell too.
Cool.
Are you already praying? Let's pray. Father, help us not to fail this week. Amen.
That's it.
Y'all know it. We've gotten so accustomed to that kind of accountability that we don't actually write like the real kind. Because dare the person say, tell me more. Wait, hold on, you in my business. Oh, I thought you were walking in light, my fault. My fault. Silly me.
Just loving Jesus.
We've gotten so accustomed to people not saying anything to our sin that if they say even a word, we call them judgmental. And then we use that one time that somebody was probably just speaking truth to us to say, that's why I don't ever even confess to Christians. Because they so judgmental. And yet, this is the way that God said that he would cleanse us and forgive us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So trying to work around that will leave you unclean.
Yeah.
John 13.
Yeah.
But we need our feet washed.
Yeah,
come on, Doc.
And the foot washing only happens when we allow him to cleanse us.
Yeah.
By exposing yourself.
Yeah.
And friends, hear me. There are only two options. Either you expose yourself and he covers you, or you try to cover yourself with fig leaves and he exposes you.
Come on.
Wow.
Which will it be? If we confess our sins, he, paradoxical, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. How many people want to say God is a liar? Anybody willing to raise your hand on it? How many people want to just say, yo, he a liar? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody willing to call deity deceptive? Anybody willing to call God a person who tells falsehoods?
Yeah.
If you're not willing to say that, then don't live it.
That's right.
Confess your sins.
Yeah.
Walk in the truth. And here's what this looks like practically for us. Y'all like practical sermons, don't y'all?
Yeah.
Because it's been a lot of theology, right? Let's get real practical.
Yeah.
Here's what this looks like practically. It means being righteous and real about where you are.
Mm. Yeah.
Righteousness says, I hunger for the things of God. Realness says, and when I fall short, I say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got churches that are either real or righteous. We got Christians in here who are either real or righteous. The real ones will admit they did the wrong thing because they don't care. Because there's no pursuit of righteousness.
Yeah.
And realness without righteousness is rebellion.
Yeah.
That's right.
Come on,
that's
right.
But on the flip end, we got churches, you put your suit on, you put your nice dress on. And by the way, I actually like dressing up. So ain't nothing wrong with that. But the question is, are you dressing up your body or are you dressing up your sin? Because you got other churches that they're only righteous and not real. Other believers in here who are only righteous and not real. So you talk about all the things of God. Oh yeah, man, just hungering and pursuing after the Lord, man. And right after you put your Bible down, you turn on a screen. But no one knows about the second step and your constant two-step process. They only know about the first. While realness without righteousness is rebellion, righteousness without realness is arrogance. And can I just say something to y'all? Please hear me. Please hear me. Please hear me. If your life is characterized, not I made a mistake, I failed or whatever, characterized
Good job.
By that kind of darkness, mm-hmm. that somebody can look at your life and say, there is no confession.
Wow.
There's no conviction. Better than if you can look in your own life, talking about the man in the mirror, and say that there's no conviction, there's no confession. Then it probably means that your life is in darkness and you do not have fellowship with light.
Amen, brother. Preach it, man.
And yet today is the day of salvation.
Yes, come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Salvation is not just what happened one time.
Yeah, continues.
But salvation is continuous, y'all.
Yes.
Salvation is every time we have victory over sin. Salvation.
Yeah.
Salvation is every time we tap into the joy of Jesus rather than the gloom of the world. Salvation.
Yeah.
Salvation is every time we experience, listen to me, experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that that is salvation?
Yeah.
And salvation is every time we don't just experience the conviction, but we live out repentance.
Yeah.
Salvation.
Yeah.
Today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you today are still in hiding. And you don't have a good enough reason yet to come out of hiding. That wasn't good enough. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. New Creation Fellowship, here, we refuse to make God out to be a liar.
Yeah.
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 In 1955, almost 10 years to the date, those bombs dropping on Hiroshima, there was another tragedy. That first brought about the end of a war. The second brought about the beginning of a movement. That tragedy happened in Money, Mississippi. Where a young man, 14 years old, was brutalized. Bloodied. Beaten so bad that they couldn't get enough, so they dragged his body through barbed wire just to make the torture more torturous. Killed him. Put him in a body of water, hopefully to never be found. But what is done in the dark will come to the light. The body was found. And the mom, Mammy too, had a decision to make. She had to figure out what kind of funeral she would have for her own son. What a decision for a mother to have to make. But the decision was a difficult one. Because the two options were to have a closed casket funeral and to have an open casket funeral. A closed casket funeral would preserve the dignity of her son. All people would remember is the wonderful pictures that they posted in the newspaper. They would remember him as the joyful little boy that he was. But this young black mother opted for the second option, an open casket funeral, where the body of her young son would be exposed for the world to see. It was that decision that was the catalyst to the civil rights movement. When she was asked, why would you allow the body of your son to be exposed in this way? Do you know what she said? She said, I wanted the whole world to see what they did to my baby. Do y'all know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit before eternity?
Come on.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Had a decision to make.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of death would the Son of God die in order to redeem all of humanity?
Wow.
They could have chosen any time period. They could have chosen the instant death of the guillotine. They could have chosen him just to get shot in the head. But instead, they chose the long suffering. Brutalizing. Isaiah 52 says, marred beyond human semblance. Kind of death of Roman crucifixion. If you were to ask God the Father, why would you allow for your son to die in this way? I believe he would say the same thing.
Good stuff, bro.
I wanted the whole world to see what they did to my son.
Oh, wow.
That's good. Friends, Jesus was brutalized publicly.
Jesus.
He was mocked publicly. He was spat on publicly. He was nailed publicly. He was crucified publicly.
Yeah.
Why? The Lord Jesus died publicly so that you never have to live in privacy.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
It's time to come out of hiding. Mm-hmm. It's time to come out of the dark. Mm-hmm. It's time to start walking in the light as we've been called to live in. I don't care what your sin is. He's not talking about perfection. If you say you have no sin, you're a liar. He's not talking about perfection.
Yeah.
He's talking about honesty. Live in the light. And why are we able to do this as believers? Because our story does not end in tragedy.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, he was brutalized publicly.
Yeah.
Yes, he was crucified publicly. Yes, he died publicly so that you don't have to live in privacy. But after being buried in a tomb, and after being dead all day Friday,
thank you, Jesus.
And dead all day Saturday,
yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Like light bursting forth through the darkness.
Yeah.
Out of the ashes, the sun rose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the third day, he rose from the dead victoriously.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Friends, why it is true that Jesus died publicly so that you don't have to live in privacy.
Mm-hmm.
On the third day,
yeah.
Jesus rose powerfully.
Yeah.
So that you no longer have to live powerless.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Come on.
My prayer is that you would tap into that power today and live the liberated life of walking in the you catastrophic light. Amen. Father, thank you so much.